Morning. We are in the series of Colossians. We know that the theme of this book is Christ is supreme over all. Therefore, He is sufficient for everything. Just we have learned last Sunday. Jesus Christ is supreme over all people in everything. He can help us in every area of our life. We just finished verse 1 and 2 last time. That is Christ's power in His church. We have seen three evidences. Christ's power in His church. Christ gives His servants for the sake of Christ. Second evidence, we have seen that Christ transforms the sinners for His glory. Third evidence we have seen, Christ is strengthening the church by God's blessings, by giving grace and peace. Now we are in verse 3 to 8. It is a big section. In this, Paul is giving thanks for the church. Paul does this often in his epistles. If you read his epistles, he often does. He used to give thanks to God for the church's sake. Brothers and sisters, this sermon will motivate you, motivate us to be thankful to God for others' spiritual life. For others, it will motivate us to thank God. It is sin if you don't thank God. How can I say that? Romans chapter 1 verse 21, it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks." Not honoring God, not giving thanks to God is the attitude of unbelievers who worship idols. Unbelievers does not give thanks to true God. They worship idols. But as believers, as true worshipper of true God, we must give thanks to Him. That is the text we have in front of us. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 8. I am reading for you. Verse 3 to 8. You also follow with me when I am reading. Verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also. It is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also, since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bond servant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Verse 8, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Here, the theme of this passage I have given, thanking God for the lives of His saints. Thanking God for the lives of His saints. Verse 3 says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then if you see verse 2, whom He is writing to you. If you see verse 2, to the saints. To the saints. From verse 4 onwards, Paul describes the worthiness of saints. For example, look at verse 4. It says, we heard your faith, the love. Look at verse 5. It says, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. If you see verse 6, the day you heard of it, understood the grace of God in truth. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras. Verse 8, he also informed us your love in the Spirit. we are seeing four things here. The worthiness of saints. Your faith, your love, then your hope, then finally their commitment for the gospel. They heard, they understood. These are the characteristics of the saints in Colossae. When Paul and his companions heard about it, they are thinking God, thanking God for his saints' life. My brother's youngest brother, he has one son. My uncle has a son. That person, that son was appreciated by his village elders in front of many people. They called him on the stage and gave him the memento because he was the one of the top of 10th class. After that, they called his father on the stage. They honored him. It means elders are thanking and being gratitude towards his father because what he has done in his son's life. Working hard, sending money, encouraged him to study. His son passed. He is topper of the 10th class. So what we are seeing, we have the culture thanking fathers because of sons and daughters. The same way here, Paul gives thanks to God for the lives of his saints, what he has done in the lives of people in Colossae. He is not thanking church in Colossae. He is thanking God because God has done something in the church. He is not thanking Colossian church, just thanking God. Give thanks means to express appreciation for the benefits or blessings. Here Paul is saying that he and Timothy, why I am saying we give thanks. Not Paul only giving thanks to God, he and Timothy, including all his companions that are mentioned at the end of this epistle, are regularly giving thanks in ongoing state. That is the idea. We give thanks means it is not sometimes, it is ongoing way. Everybody, co-workers, Paul, thanking God because of the lives of saints in Colossae. See what kind of example Paul and all his co-workers are giving to us, that thanking God instead of grumbling in their suffering. Where is Paul? He was in imprisonment. Where is other co-workers? Almost they are also in the imprisonment with him. They were suffering, but they are thanking God in that time, because of the lives of the saints. What God has done in the church. One of the sins of Christians is complaining all time because of sins of others in the church. He is like that. She is like that. They are like that. But we are not thanking God because of their worthiness, because of their commitment to God. But even though they have some mistakes, Colossians, they have some mistakes. They have sin in themselves, but Paul is thanking God because of their characteristics. We have to learn those things, brothers and sisters. This sermon is encouraging me. This sermon will encourage you to thank God because of his saints. Look at the word always. See verse 3. This always is not related to praying. Thanking. Paul has this gratitude always. Those who love the church, the gospel, can have this kind of attitude because their goal is to preach the gospel and to strengthen the churches. When they see that is happening in the church, they are so thankful to God. This is showing another quality of the ministers, that is, which is humility. Giving all glory to God, not for their hard works, not for the church people. Here, thanksgiving expresses an attitude towards God and is the condition of enjoyment. No one say, thank you so much. No one will say like that. No one will cry and with sourness, thank you. No one will say. But sometimes we say thank you with happy tears. That is different. That is different. See here, giving thanks always filled with joy. Here Paul and his all companions, they filled with joy, giving thanks to God. That is the idea we are seeing here. They are always thanking God. When they are thanking, look at verse 3. Praying always for you. That means whenever they are praying, that time they are giving thanks. That is the idea we can see. Paul and all his companions are always thanking God whenever they pray for the church, which is in Colossae. When Paul states he gave thanks always, continually, he means that he regularly remembered them in his times of prayer, morning, afternoon, and evening. Customarily, whenever he prays, usually Jewish people, they used to pray morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever he is praying, he is thanking God because what God has done in their life. Paul has this habit of giving thanks, as I mentioned before. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, he mentions again, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, it says, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Philemon chapter 1 verse 4, it says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. Here Paul is giving thanks to God. At the same time, he is encouraging the church to give thanks to God. This is mandatory. Why I read these four verses additionally, so that you must understand it is very important in church life, in your life, giving thanks to God. Four characteristics of the saints that motivate us to be thankful to God. First characteristic of the saints that motivates us to be thankful to God is they have faith in Christ. You can see verse 3, it says, we give thanks to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Have you seen that? Verse 3, verse 4, part A, you can see that. Here Paul is giving, when he is giving thanks, when he heard, he started thanking God. What he heard? The faith of saints in Colossae. Colossians were Gentiles, not believers, but sinners and evildoers. But Paul and the other heard their faith in Christ Jesus because of the work of the gospel. This is faith in Christ Jesus, an expression that does not denote the object to which their faith is directed, but rather indicates the sphere in which faith lives and acts. The faith of the saints lives, acts in Christ Jesus. Paul addressed them, faithful brethren in Christ at Colossae, verse 2. They are faithful brethren in Christ. Faith is in Christ is very crucial thing for all mankind, brothers and sisters. Even if it is important to Colossians, but they have faith in Christ. That is the testimony we heard from this scripture. Apart from faith, there was no Christianity. No one would be saved without faith. Through faith, we were saved. What are the benefits if you have faith in Christ? If you see Romans chapter 10 verse 9, if you read that, you don't need to read now, you read later, it says the salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation comes to anybody through faith in Christ. Sinners receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among saints. That is possible through faith. Acts chapter 26 verse 18. Paul explains why did Jesus make him an apostle. The purpose of apostleship of Paul is, he mentioned Acts 26 verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Whoever believes in Christ, they receive forgiveness, inheritance of saints. Not only that, believers are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 26. We will become children of God. Even John mentioned in his gospel chapter 1 verse 12. We will become his children, God's children, through faith in Christ. That's why he mentions Colossians chapter 2 verse 5. For even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. He is expecting, he wants to rejoice over the faith of Colossians in the trials. That is the false teachers. He said this because of false teachers. We need stability in the faith in Jesus Christ in our lives. Mac Manus, a good writer, he wrote Biblical Apologetics. He said, he defined faith in Christ. What is the faith in Christ? He says like this. You can see on the screen. Faith in Christ denotes not simply a belief that carries an intellectual assent, but one wherein the believer cleaves to his Savior with all his heart and share the very identity of Christ. The man who believes in this sense abides in Christ and Christ in him. Faith is not just accepting certain things as true, but trusting a person, and that person is Christ. That is the definition of the faith in Christ. Three attributes of Christ motivate us to trust in him. Okay, the believers, they trusted Christ. Even I am saying you trust in Christ. Why should I trust in Christ? Who is he? Can you explain for me? I can explain from this text. Here Paul is giving the attributes of Christ. Three attributes of Christ. First attribute of Christ motivates us to trust in him is, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 it says, we give thanks to God, to whom? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God who deserves our thanksgiving is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God is the Father of Jesus Christ. Here we can see clearly that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, he mentions again and again about his deity, who he is. That is, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5, it says, but to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him and he shall be a son to him. He did not say to any angel, but God said to the Son, that is Jesus Christ. If we call, brothers and sisters, let me explain you. If we call God as Father, it is saying, it means he is our Father, we are his children. But If Jesus calls him Father, it means he is referring that he is equal to God. He is saying, I am God. Whenever you read, whenever Jesus says Father, that is saying, I am equal to you. You and me are same in nature. I am your son. That is the meaning. In our culture, we used to think what son means? Biological son. It is not biological. He is not biological son in the scripture. It is very clear in Greek. Whoever says, my father, I am your son, that is saying that he is equal to God. That is blasphemy. That's why John Gospel chapter 10 verse 30 to 33. It is like this. The conversation between Jesus and Jews. What happened? Jesus said like this, chapter 10 verse 30. I and the Father are one. Then Jews picked up the stones again to stone him. When Jesus said, I and Father are equal, they took stone to stone him. Why? He asked. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for good works, we do not stone you. Remember Jesus, for good works, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy. What is that blasphemy? They mentioned, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Whenever Jesus called Father, he is making himself God. He is declaring, I am God. Because Father, God the Father and me are equal, one. We bear same nature. Even though we are different, but we have same divinity. We have deity as same. Peter O'Brien, he mentioned that one whom God has united to himself in the closest bond of love and intimacy made acquainted with his purposes. God appointed Jesus to explain, carry out among men the plan of salvation. God made Jesus to share all his own divine nature. God is sharing all his divine nature through Jesus Christ. That is the idea. That's why if you read chapter 1 verse 15 of Colossians, what is there? Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, what is there? He is the image of the invisible God. He is image of invisible God. If you see Christ's nature, brothers and sisters, then you see exactly God's nature. They are same in nature. They are one in nature. All attributes of God dwell in Jesus Christ. They are equal as God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why you believed, Colossians, in this Jesus, weak Jesus, everybody saying he is a man, he born recently, why you are following him? Why you believed? They know this Jesus is Son of God. Exactly is God. No one will go to God without him. He is representing God's nature by himself. He is God. Brothers and sisters, if you understand Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you must trust in him. You should thank God for revealing himself to us in Jesus Christ, making us to believe in him. No? You are so privileged people. We are all. So many are not believing in Son of God. But you are privileged people, brothers and sisters. Be joyful because God made you to trust in this true God, our Lord Jesus Christ, true God. Read John's Gospel more if you want to know the deity of Christ. He explains, he describes Christ's deity very nicely. Please read John's Gospel. You read Colossians as well as. Buy biblical doctrine. I think it is cheap in OM 1000 rupees, in Amazon 3000 rupees, something else. You can buy that biblical doctrine book and read about the deity of Christ. You won't grow, brothers and sisters, by listening sermons in Sundays. It is true. Even I don't know many things. I am learning again and again. But you need to buy those books and study about Christ so that your faith may grow more and more in Him. That is our responsibility. That is our responsibility. Second attribute of Christ motivates us to trust in Him is He is our sovereign Lord. He is our sovereign Lord. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the description of Jesus Christ there? The Lord, our Lord. Verse 4, it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, where they are trusting in Christ. Who is He? He mentioned in verse 3. He is our Lord. Jesus Christ is sovereign Lord. The Lord means one who is in position of authority. He is the master. Everyone should obey Him. He is in control. If you read this verse, I give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It will go like this only. If you understand the meaning of the word meaning Lord, then you understand who Christ is. Why we must trust in Him? Because He is sovereign Lord. See, interesting word Paul used here. Our Lord, not the Lord, our Lord. It is talking about the relationship between His people and Him. We are His servants. He is the Lord. The idea is Jesus Christ belongs to Paul and church. Christ is the Lord and Master who belongs to the church. This is showing something that we must obey His authority. This will motivate everybody to trust in Him, have confidence in Him, because He is our sovereign Lord. Maybe you, those who did not trust, you may ask me, why should I believe Jesus? I can answer from the scripture, that is, why you should believe? Because Jesus is sovereign. He is above all. You need to trust in Him. That is the motivation you have. Whom you should trust, where you will go. Have you escaped from Him? Even though you don't trust in Him, one day you need to accept that Jesus is the Lord. You need to bow down before Him. If you bow down before Him now, you will receive blessings and salvation. Jesus Christ is sovereign. That's why we believe. It is connected with our salvation. Do you know that? Romans chapter 10 verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. You need to confess with your mouth. He is Lord. He is sovereign. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. Why you are being saved? Because you are confessing. You are trusting in Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 22 verse 41 to 46. Many were attacking the Lordship of Christ. Many were thinking He is small. He born 2000 years ago. Why should I believe in Him? Why should I follow other people? Many are rejecting the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. But this Matthew chapter 22 verse 41 to 46 clearly explains who He is. Jesus asked Pharisees a question. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son He is? Is He? They asked. Jesus asked them. They said to Him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David in the spirit call Him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under beneath your feet. Why did David said, if Christ is son of David, why did David said, the Lord. Then what happened? They did not reply. They silent. They did not dare to ask other questions. Because what Jesus is proving here, brothers and sisters, we must know that you think I am son of David. But I am son of David as a man. But you also need to know that I am the Lord of David. I am not only son of David, I am Lord of David. I am sovereign. Even David accepted that, your forefather. But you are not accepting that I am the Lord. That is the thing he is conveying, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Not only for me, not only for you, everybody. He is the Lord of all. Acts chapter 10. We see Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. He says he is the head over all rule and authority. Why he is promoting Jesus Christ as Lord? Because of false teachers, they are thinking he is nothing. We have two things, Lord Jesus Christ, at the same time angels, other things, principalities, traditions, laws. But here Paul is exalting Jesus Christ as Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's why we must believe in him. I was studying in hostel. I had a warden. He was very strict. We must obey whatever he says. Other wardens give permission to go to home when there is a 2 days holidays. But this man, he won't give permission. We obeyed him. Then he says, you should not eat, you should not bring pickle, homemade pickle. You have to eat hostel curries. Because you are wasting all curries, you are eating homemade pickle. We obeyed him. Then he used to say, you should go in the line when you are going to school, from hostel to school. Nobody will go to a school by line, but only this we people will go by line. We obeyed him. Everybody is laughing at us. No, they are going haram, say happily they will go, but we need to go by line. We obeyed him. Then he used to say that after 5 a.m., as 10th class students, you should not sleep. Everybody is sleeping, 9th class, 8th class, everybody is sleeping. They will wake up at 6 o'clock, 6:30, like that. But we need to wake up after at 5 a.m. We obeyed him. See, as a human, as a warden who has authority, as children, we obeyed him. What about King of Kings, Lord of Lords? How much we should obey him? Saying is easy, brothers. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We believed in him because he is Lord. But where is your obedience? You have to obey to him because he is greater than everybody. Brothers and sisters, have an obedient life if he is the Lord. That is why James always says that faith works. If you are not obeying Lord Jesus Christ, but you are saying, I am believer, I know he is Lord, it is not, you don't have faith. Maybe that is fake faith. If you know he is Lord and Savior, the response will come, that is obedience. That's why Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul mentioned that. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. You have obedience if he is your Lord. So at the same time, if you understand he is the Lord, you need to trust in him. Third attribute of Christ motivates us to trust in him is, he is our Savior. He is not only the Son of God. He is not only our Sovereign Lord. He is our Savior. That's why we are all here and listening his words, following him. He saved us, right? Verse 3, it says, the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith, where is their faith? In Christ Jesus. J Jesus. Jesus in Hebrew is Joshua, which means Yahweh saves. Whenever you call Joshua in our church, you remember Jesus saves you from your sin. Whenever you know any friend who is called by name by Joshua, you should think God saves you. Yahweh saves you in Jesus Christ. That is the exact name, the meaning of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. He explains, he describes the meaning of the Jesus. It says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For, if you see the for, why you should call? What is the reason? He will save his people from their sins. Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. But unfortunately, this gospel is not preached more nowadays. Jesus comes to save from your healing or due to money or do many things, saving from you from accidents, saving from your debt. There are many false teaching is going on. Prosperity gospel. Here, angel did not say, for he will save his people from all other things. But he said, from their sins. Jesus Christ is the savior of sinners. If you ask me, why should I believe in Jesus? But I say, you accept that you are sinner. If you are sinner, he saves you from that sin. You need to run to him. Brothers and sisters, the amazing thing is, those who are once evil workers, sinners, but now they are trusting God. This is only through work of God. This is the characteristics of the saints. Is there because of Christ. Bible says the faith is gift of God. Why we are trusting in this Savior? Because he is sovereign Lord. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior. I used to share gospel like this. Somebody who comes, I have sickness. Can you pray for me? I want to believe in Jesus. I say like this. Brothers or sisters, whoever it is, I am not giving guarantee that Christ will save you from your sickness, those things. But I will give you guarantee that he will save you from your sins. Believe Christ for your salvation from the sins. But don't, if you want to believe in Christ for these all things, please don't believe. You are not coming to heaven. Even those who did not believe Jesus Christ, they are having luxurious life. They have a Mercedes car. You have. They have big building. They have central ACs in their house. Did they believe in Jesus? They have so much luxuries, authorities. Under some people, many will work, right? They did not believe Jesus. If you believe in Jesus for these earthly things, to get something from earthly things from him, so no use at all. Even though you won't believe, he will give to you. He will give to you. But why you should believe? To escape from the God's wrath. You must be trust in Jesus Christ for our sins, for the salvation of your sins. Brothers and sisters, be thankful to God for his gift of faith, which we have in this wonderful Savior. One of the blessings of verse by verse preaching from the Bible is we often listen to the gospel. Our faith will go more and more when we understand the gospel more. How can you, believers, will be strong in faith? By meditating on the gospel again and again, again and again. Today is the day of salvation if you are not trusting in this amazing Savior. I gave three motivations to trust in this Savior. You cannot find like this Savior in anywhere. You need to run to him. You need to trust in him, because he has that attribute, majesty, that qualities that saves you. At the same time, if you are saved, don't sit and relax. I am saved. I am safe. Share this saving gospel to your friends. Why this church is not growing more? Because you are not sharing Christ. You are living for yourself. That is selfishness, right? If you escape from the wrath, I am safe, but you are not telling anybody else, that is selfishness. Why don't you share the gospel to your friends? Why don't you share this amazing Savior to your friends, neighbors, relatives? We are not saving them, but we need to share the gospel. Christ will work. The word of God will work through your teaching to them. But we are not doing, brothers. You are not doing properly. Start sharing gospel. Because you are local, right? If you are local, if you speak Konkani, they will sit and listen. If you speak as a boss, inviting your workers under you, if you share about Christ, they will listen. They may listen. Christ may work. But don't be like selfish person, coming and going, not sharing gospel. See what an amazing Savior we have. Tell them he is Son of God. Tell them he is Sovereign Lord. No one is like him. Tell them he is the only Savior to save them, to take them to heaven. Have that commitment, brothers. Second characteristic of the saints that motivates us to be thankful to God is they have love towards saints. They have love towards saints. Look at verse 4. Part B says, the love which you have for all the saints. Look at verse 8. He also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Here Paul connects an additional element that they heard about Colossians, which caused them to thank God. That is the love. One is the faith. Second one, the love which they have towards other people. Brothers, because the faith is working in them. If they have faith, the result is having love to one another. Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. If you have faith, love will come through you. That is formula, that is principle. If you have faith, you love others. If you don't have faith, you won't love others. They have faith, they have love for one another. Paul is saying that they have love in ongoing state, regularly, habitually. They are loving sometimes, they are not loving long time. He is not saying that. They are loving all saints, ongoing state. They are not hating. Here, love is practical expression of care and concern. Here, the saints in Colossae have concern, care for others. That is the idea we are learning. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, for you are called to be freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. This is a command. Through love, serve one another. We need to serve one another. We need to have concern for other Christians, other saints in the church. Not only that, all, right? Three characteristics of saints' love. First characteristic of saints' love is, it is divine love. It is divine love. Look at verse 4 says, the love which you have for all the saints. The love is the Greek word agape. The same word is used for God's love towards us. God showed agape. He showed agape love. That is divine. You know, 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 says, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is a sacrificial love. Your church in Colossae is loving sacrificially other saints. What are the ways that we love saints sacrificially? We need to understand. Meet the needs of saints. Caring, concern for other people, those who are sitting beside you, those who are sitting now present, you need to have concern for them, care for them. That is the idea. That is the idea we see in this verse. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have care and concern, it is not a biblical thing, because the Colossians, they have love towards one another. They are caring. They have divine love. It is sacrificial service to others. They show godly love to someone when they sacrifice themselves to meet that person's need. John Gospel chapter 13 verse 34 to 35. It says, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, he says, "By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have a love for one another." What is the evidence of a Christian disciple of Christ? Is love. If you have love, that is showing you are disciple of Christ towards other saints. The context is Jesus washed his disciples. If you read chapter 13, verse 1 onwards, he met their need. So when Jesus says that loving one another is meeting others' need, have concern, care for other disciples. Because Jesus washed their feet, because they went out, their feet were dirty. As a servant has to clean the feet of people, that culture. But Jesus washed their feet. That means he is serving them. He is loving them. In the same way you love, he said. That means we need to fulfill the needs of other saints. The saints in Colossae are doing this. But it is commanded for us. I need to tell what I have experienced with the love of saints in my life. Because the saints of Christ always loves. They have that ability. I know Pastor Sammy, he has come to my place. He has seen, Vijay, your house is very hot. The next day he brought one cooler. He bought and brought to cooler for us. Then we shifted to here, Porvarum. Then he came to know that we are sleeping on the floor. He came to know immediately. He said, "We are going out. We are buying cot and bed." He bought and gave to us. Not only Pastor Sam. I can say many people here, those who are sitting here, sending car to go to home, and inviting us, and having fellowship with us, sending things what we need. I can experience that love in the church. But why I am telling these all things? We must grow more and more. We must grow more and more, because it is commanded. This is exactly what Jesus told his disciples. Colossians have followed it. Maybe they have learned how to love sacrificially from God alone, not anyone else. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Here, he loved us when we are not loving him, when we are against him, right? Christ died for us. This verse is saying that you are rebellious sinners. Christ died for us in that situation. This is God's love. But same love we must have as a saint. The church loves other saints who are not loving them, but hurting them, pulling them down, criticizing them in front of everybody. Even those people we need to love, because God loved us. What are the areas that we give reasons for not loving some members of the church or families. What are the reasons we give? I don't love that sister. I don't love that brother. We give some reasons, right? In family, what are the reasons we give to love our family members? He is not loving. She is not obeying. And I told her, make chicken with little spicy, but she made too much spicy. If it is possible, throw that plate on her. These are the ways even Christians does. Too salty. Very salty. You are so beautiful, but you add more salt. So I did not like you today. These are the ways we give reasons to hate, not love others. And my child did not obey. So no food for you full day. You did not listen my voice. Discipline is, I am not talking about discipline, but just hating people because of some reasons. Hating parents because they did not buy things that you want. I asked this one, mommy, but you did not buy for me. I hate you. I did not like you. These are the reasons we give to our parents, to our spouses, and to children in church. What are the reasons we give so that we should not love them? He hurt me publicly, criticizing me publicly. Everybody is laughing at me. How should I love her? She or he is not talking to with me. She or he did not wish me today. He is wishing everybody. He is not wishing me. How should I love this person, this lady? She did not call. She is calling everybody. Even though they are sinful, even though they hurt you, but we need to love them. Even church, pastor did not give responsibility. He did not give me a chance to pray. Even these things we take as reasons to not love others. Brothers and sisters, love those who hurt you, trying to destroy your testimony even. Love your enemies, Bible says, right? Practically. How you restore the love with others if they are hating you, if they are your enemies in the church, something they are doing to you. Pray for them. Wish them if you see them. Then help them in small areas. Call them at your home, house for dinner or lunch. Wish them for their birthday parties. If they are celebrating birthdays, wish them. You know they are doing something, they are hurting you. But you do these all things. The love will come from them all. Brothers and sisters, God loved us. Christ loved us while we are yet sinners. We must love our brothers and sisters even though they are sinners. That is the lesson the church in Colossae have learned practicing. Paul heard about their love. That is God's love, divine love they have. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. I don't know how much she is troubling you. I don't know how much he is troubling you. Whoever it is, in your family, in the church. But love covers multitude of church in Colossae were doing these things. Paul heard about them. The second characteristic of saints' love is it is exclusive love. Exclusive love. It says right, verse 4, part B, the love which you have for all the saints. Here the love the church has for all saints, exclusive love. For all saints in Greek, idea is for the advantage of all saints. For the advantage of all saints. They are loving all saints for their advantage. They are not loving some people. They are not loving other people, hating. Here idea is they are loving all saints. There is no partiality in them. They are loving Christians who are at Colossae and in other churches of Lycus Valley. We have a love. They have a love for all saints in Hierapolis, Laodicea, I believe that all co-workers heard about their love for all saints, especially for Epaphras, who is pastor and the church planter. So almost, brothers and sisters, you will be amazed. Almost 9 co-workers are greeting the church. If you see end of this epistle, 9 co-workers are greeting this church. If you read other epistle, prison epistle, not that much co-workers are greeting. Ephesians, read Philippians, there are some people are there, but 9 co-workers are greeting this church because they came to know how much this church is loving saints. They are so happy to greet this church because they are loving all saints. Because of their exclusive love, brothers and sisters, the more the co-workers has concern about them. Brothers and sisters, are you loving all saints? This church is challenging you and me to have affection, to love for the advantage of all saints in CCC. Invite the different families to your house for fellowship, but not only some families. Don't have always friendship with some people. Speak with everybody. There is no groups here. If there is no, there is a group here, that is not church. Here, saints, they are loving all. I don't want to talk with that person. I don't have to have fellowship with that person. You cannot say, but there is a variation. You can relate, but you cannot say, I cannot talk with that person. I cannot love that person, because the love is exclusive. They loved all saints. See, I am not preaching by myself. I am getting these things from the scripture. They loved all saints. Brothers and sisters, by the way, you can't show the same kind of love to everybody with same intention. You need to understand. We love our family first. Then we love our church first. Then we love other churches like DCC or CCC in Pune. Then other believers in the Goa. But there is a priority. But we should love all saints. We should not become group. You have to go through. You have to talk to every people. This is mandatory, brothers. Third characteristics of saints' love is it is spiritual love. Look at verse 8 says, He is also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Epaphras had visited Paul in Rome, told him how the churches were living. Much of Epaphras' news was encouraging Paul, who was an apostle to Gentiles. This phrase, in spirit, indicates that saints were filled with a love generated by Holy Spirit, enabling them to love others. Here idea is their love is inspired by Holy Spirit. They are loving other all saints because of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is helping them, strengthening them to love others. If you have Holy Spirit in you, you have capacity to love others. Even forgive your enemies. Understood? If you have Holy Spirit in you. We know that Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. What is the fruit of Spirit? First one, love. Then joy, peace, kindness. We will go one by one. But love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. One of the fruit of the Spirit. The sources of their love is the Holy Spirit. He is working in them to love. Here the church has love towards who are all near to them. Also love towards Paul. How we can say? Colossians chapter 4, verse 8, if you read, they have love towards Paul also. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your heart. That means Epaphras went to Paul. He told about their love towards all saints, including Paul, including all co-workers. That's why he is telling, we will let you know our circumstances in imprisonment in Rome. They are loving even Paul. That came through the Holy Spirit. So Paul is mentioning that Tychicus, who take a letter and same time tells all circumstances in Rome. We must be thankful to God for those who love saints. And also we must have the goal, brothers and sisters, other saints should thank God because of our life. Not only thanking God always for others, but you must have that goal. Others in the church must thank because of my life, dedication to Christ. Don't think that this is only possible to those who are believers in early church. This is possible even now. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7 to 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Verse 8 says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." If you are not loving, you don't know God. If you are loving, you know God. Colossians, they know God, they love God. We church, we love God, we know God. If you are not loving, please repent of yourself. Confess your sin. "Lord, I am not repenting. I am not loving others, even though I know you." But you need to check, are you loving all saints? Brothers and sisters, in early churches, many were being added to the church by God through faith of saints in Christ. The love of saints, many were added into the church. They have for one another, love one another, for all saints who are around them. Our church is not growing because people are not seeing our faith in Christ, which is working. People are not seeing we love one another. That's why we are not growing. If our church should grow more and more, you must have faith in Him. If church wants to grow more and more, people should see your love publicly. How God demonstrated, publicly He mentioned, loved us, like that we should love one another. God may help us to be like saints in Colossae. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you with humility. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, not trusting Christ sometimes because of circumstances. Lord, help us to trust in Christ in our lives. And also forgive us our sins, Lord, not loving brothers and sisters in church. Lord, produce love among us. Holy Spirit, we need you. Without you, we cannot love others. Help us to love every one of us in this church, even other saints. Lord, help us to follow you as your church, because you are the head of this church. In Jesus' name I pray.